sometimes you need to look at things in the rearview mirror to kind of have a better understanding. Sometimes it takes that hindsight, right? That hindsight that's 2020. On this episode of the Alliance Blog Podcast, we're taking a look back at the reigns of Jeff Jarrett as NWA World's Heavyweight Champion. Was he good for business? Was he good for the NWA? We're going to discuss that, and we'll be discussing that. It'll be Jaden, DKM, and myself from the Alliance Guys live stream on Thursday night. Join us as we discuss Jeff Jarrett after this.
You believe that there are some people in this world that did not tune in to the Alliance Blog Podcast. Shame on you!
Shame on you! My name is Ella Indy, and I'm one half of the NWA Women's World Tag Team Champion.
And I'm Kitty Page, the other half of the NWA World Women's Tag Team Champion.
And you better go listen to the Alliance Blog. What is it called?
Podcast, period.
Or you're ugly. Period. You're ugly. Power approved.
Times are tough now, guys, and it's no joke out here. That's why I'm very proud to be partnering with the Upside app. They're leveling the playing field, guys. They're giving you opportunities to earn cash back on purchases for groceries, purchases for gasoline, purchases for food. These are the things we all spend our money on all the time. I believe in Upside. I use Upside weekly. My lifetime earnings is over $408, and you too can be earning cash back on your Philips, your groceries, or your eating out experiences just by signing up, and it's free. By using my invite code, JASON75338, that's JASON75338, you'll earn $5 cash back on your first Philips. Use the link in the video description or download the app, but make sure you use that invite code JASON75338 and make money by using the Upside app. We're going to spend some time looking at the history of the NWA. We're going to talk about an era of the NWA where a lot of people, there's this huge misconception that Billy Corgan has rescued the NWA, that it was nothing after 1993 when WCW and New Japan and CMLL all left the NWA. There's this wild misconception that the NWA just ceased to exist until Billy Corgan purchased the rights to the NWA in 2017. We know that that's not true, mostly because we've been living through this NWA through the wilderness years, if you will, all the way to what is now the Lightning One era. But through those years, the NWA had kind of gone through different transformations. There was always that main ownership group, but around 2000, I think one, is when they entered into that licensing agreement with the Jarretts, both Jeff and Jerry Jarrett, when they were starting their new pay-per-view wrestling company, Total Nonstop Action. And during that time, Total Nonstop Action licensed both the World's Heavyweight Championship and the World Tag Team titles with the intent on promoting those titles as their own, and would also, I think originally, and DK, you could correct me, originally those belts were supposed to be not only showcased on the pay-per-views, but then stars from the NWA were supposed to be brought in to work those shows as well, right?
I don't know how much stars in the NWA were supposed to come in and work it, but I know the idea was they'd be traveling to the different territories to hold the pay-per-views, and then that would give their guys work over the weekend. They would make the guys available to the local promoter.
And then, Jaden, I know that you were very much involved with the NWA back in those days. Did you ever see any of the TNA stars come to your local area back in in New Jersey or on the any of those promotions that were affiliated with the NWA at the time?
When NWA first started, the promotion that was the NWA affiliate in the New Jersey area is called NWA Over the Top. There was Biggie Biggs. There was Crazy Ivan. There was Jack Victory, but I don't remember seeing any Impact guys. But then a little bit later, there was this promotion called NWA Shockwave, and they had a ton of NWA Impact and TNA guys.
The reason why we're talking about Jeff Jarrett and Double J Jeff Jarrett.
How do you spell it?
That's J-E-F-F-J-A-R. That's two R's, isn't it? E-double-T.
Jeff you Jarrett. Really screwed that up. First of all, you can't say without the ha-has. It's J-E-F-F, ha-ha. J-A-R-R-E-T-T. That's Double J. Ha-ha, Jeff Jarrett.
I can't do the ha-has. If I do that, then people think I'm Santa Claus.
That's ho-hos. If you want to do lots of ho-hos, I got them all over New Jersey.
Well, I'm a married man. Chris Chuvan Vantage School says he's also a friend of Taylor Swift, whoever that is.
That is true. Taylor Swift used to babysit his girls.
Yeah, I've heard that story before. Could you imagine if you the young woman who is watching your kids grows up to be a country music star? Like, do you get any like perks for that? Like, can you call her up and be like, "Hey, can you watch the kids while we go to your concert?"
No. The real thing is how much it's got to bite you that you know that she's worth, you know, like 20 times the money.
Does it bite? Yeah, she's
2,000.
She's a brand unto herself now. She's bigger than the Super Bowl.
She's no Bad Bunny.
Oh, actually, I think she literally crashed Ticketmaster going on sale. So I don't know if she's.
Yeah, Bad Bunny is the number one musician in all of music right now. He's the biggest thing in music right now. It's hard to believe, but.
It is hard to believe, but I'll take it. By the way, Chris Chuvan Vanchkel is my childhood friend. That's how I was able to say that last name, because he's actually my childhood friend.
Speaking of that, where did Chris Dog live?
He thought you were getting too personal with him, and he took off.
Hey, he's probably embarrassed to be from Philly. Philadelphia.
Spend my days working hard on the go, but the hands on a clock keep spinning too slow. I can't wait to be alone with my baby tonight.
Between that and the Dukes of Hazzard theme song, those are the only country songs I know.
Ooh, wait. Those are the only ones? What about Rap is Crap?
You wash your legs, you won't have that problem.
Save me, I'm falling.
You kind of look like you are falling. All right, so let's talk about Jeff Jarrett, a six-time.
Okay, Jeff Jarrett.
Let's talk about the six-time NWA World Champion. Now, there's something
six,
that.
Not seven.
Yeah, because let's not take into consideration the bullshit that is the whole Philadelphia, or not Philadelphia, geez, the whole Puerto Rico thing where he gave up the title because he was a fear of a riot. Like, I hate when people bring stuff up like that and say, oh, no, he lost the title because, dude, if he didn't do that, he was going to cause an international incident. Or I guess, well, Puerto Rico's still part of the United States.
That's more like an American incident, isn't it?
Yeah. Either way, someone was going to die. And we know in Puerto Rico, they don't have a problem with killing somebody.
Yeah, and they can, no, that's for sure. And look, he got the title back that night. They just didn't tell the crowd.
Right.
And everything. It's like, if you're going to count that, then Ric Flair is like a 423-time champion. Because how many nights did Ric Flair lose the title? And, you know, Dusty Rhodes probably isn't that far behind him, because Dusty Rhodes beat Ric Flair for the title about 300 times. And, you know, had it taken back. So, you know, I don't even really recognize the last title change between Ric Flair and Harley Race. That was a lot of smarks who were trying to show off and didn't even have all the information. So
Jeff Jarrett.
Jeff Jarrett. Okay, I want to throw out a statistic to you guys. All right. TNA controlled the NWA World Heavyweight Championship for 1,789 days. Of those, Jeff Jarrett, who was the main booker, he oversaw the moron. I won't call him what Jim Cornette calls him because I want Jay to keep his money.
You talking about Vinny Roo?
Yeah.
Okay.
Jeff Jarrett was champion for 1,006 of those days. So he held the title over 56% of the time that it was in TNA. Oddly, he never held the TNA title.
That's kind of ironic, isn't it?
Yeah. So
it's like rain on a wedding day.
Yeah, exactly.
Is it like a free ride when you're already there?
Already paid. Come on, get the song. Get the lyrics right. Anyway, so here's the question. So this breaks down to the multi levels of questions and intrigues. We've seen this a lot. When a person is head of the promotion, they tend to put the title on themselves because who can they trust more with the belt than themselves or a family member? You know, Fritz was a multiple-time America's champion in Texas. Vern Gagne held the AWA World Heavyweight Championship.
So did son-in-law Larry Zbyszko.
Yeah. And it goes on and on. So the question is should Jarrett have put the title on himself and held it so much during that time? Should he have been a six-time champion? Or should he have kept the title on some of the others? Here's actually a list of people that held the title in TNA. AJ Styles 3 times before he was anybody. Abyss. Christian Cage held it 2x. Jeff Jarrett held it 6 times. Ken Shamrock held it 1x for 49 days and left promotion immediately. Raven held it 1x. Rhino held it 1x for 2 days. Ron Killings held it 2x. And Sting held it 1x for 4 weeks.
Somebody messing with their microphone?
Yeah, it's me.
Mute yourself.
Click, 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 click. All right. So those are some statistics. So
I didn't mind him. I don't understand why everybody hated him. He wasn't a bad champion. He wasn't the greatest, but he was good for what he was. And it's kind of like the prequels of Star Wars. People now see his reign and they see it in a completely different light. He's more popular now than he was when he was champion.
Well, there's some truth to that.
I didn't mind him being champion. He was a former Intercontinental champion, a former WCW champion, former USWA champion, former NWA North American champion, former WCCW light heavyweight champion. Don't tell me how many times he's been Southern or champion or whatever. He's held belts everywhere. He's got a good pedigree. The problem is people thought if he was given a stupid country music gimmick with an even more stupid outfit, and his father and later him owned the promotion, and people hated him for it because they wanted it on their favorite guys. But he was never, ever a bad champion.
I have a question for you.
Yes.
Should he have dropped the guitar gimmick when he left WWE?
Yes. Billy Joe Travis, Honky Tonk Man, he didn't need to be acting like either of them with that super guitar gimmick. Slap nuts.
So you, th- Do you think he was the best choice for champion?
Not always. Not all of his reigns, but he wasn't a bad choice. He wasn't. I mean, honestly, they really should have got rid of Vince Russo and then just push for the future. AJ Styles was great. Ron Killing started off good until they made him a champion. Then they kind of screwed him up after that. I really, really wanted Alpha Male Monty Brown to win it because I just liked him a lot. Glad Billy Gunn and Road Dogg didn't hold it. But
what about Abyss?
At the time, I think it was like one of those changes they did to because something else was supposed to happen and it didn't work. Abyss was a good Impact TNA wrestler. He was over at the time. He didn't really get stupid until he started doing really stupid things later. Like with his twin brother. Yeah, I agree, Big Chris Dog. I liked Monty Brown. Monty Brown had something special, and they really dropped the ball.
I think with Monty Brown, I think everyone, you know, even looking back, you know, through that 2020 lens, like, he was so over with the crowd. And it, like, him, the two guys that I feel like the Impact really missed the boat on, or TNA, was Samoa Joe and Monty Brown. And I think Monty Brown should have won that world title at least once, if not twice. And I think you could have made a case for Samoa Joe winning the NWA World's Heavyweight Championship when he was dominating the X Division. There was that scene, and I will never forget this. It's like completely melted into my mind. One of the coolest things ever was Jarrett was in the middle of the ring in that six-sided ring, and I think it was on Fox Sports at the time. And he was talking about how he was the King of the Mountain. And then all of a sudden you hear Samoa Joe's theme music hit. And he has the X Division title right around his shoulder, and he's stomping out to the ring, and he looks at Jarrett, and Jarrett looks at him, and Jarrett looks legitimately scared. And you're like, what the hell's going to happen here? And then Joe, like I think Joe kind of hits him with the shoulder as he walks into the ring. And that was about it. That was the only interaction I think those two ever had. But I felt like at that moment, that would have been an excellent time to put Jarrett into a feud with Samoa Joe, where you could have done the whole X Division versus world champion thing. There could have been a lot of money to be made there. Getting back to Monty Brown, hell yeah, Monty Brown should have been world champion. I don't know why they didn't pull the trigger on Monty Brown. He was so good in Impact and so disappointing when he went to the WWE as the original MVP. Right? Like they called him something like MVP.
No, it was Marcus Corvan or something like that.
Okay, you're right. You're right. Marcus
Corvan. The original MVP was Abe Knuckleball Schwartz.
Fair enough. But yeah, I really felt like Monty Brown would have been a guy to go with. And then, you know, some of the names that you guys mentioned, like, you know, Shamrock, he wasn't there for very long. You couldn't do a whole lot with him. They gave Raven almost like a joke run.
88 days.
Yeah. And then they took the belt off of him in Canada, if you remember that one. In Scott D'Amore's BCW at the time. Yep. The other statistic that I saw on Jarrett that I thought was worth mentioning is look, as it goes for an NWA World's Heavyweight Champion, now, of course, the belt was licensed to TNA. So obviously, any of those matches were going to be more reserved for TNA wrestling, but there was lots of times that you know, that world title sat idle on weekends where NWA events were running. Jeff Jarrett defended that title about five times in an NWA ring as an NWA world champion. And going back to 2003, he defended against Rod Steele at the NWA Florida at an NWA Florida event. Then he defended it against AJ Styles at Mid-Atlantic Championship Wrestling, but that was in South Korea. That was kind of a big deal. He defended against Ron Killings at Cyberspace in New Jersey. He defended against Slick Wagner Brown at Cyberspace, New Jersey, and then against BG James in NWA Wrestling Birmingham in Alabama. And so of the, you know, 4 years that the NWA World's Heavyweight Championship was controlled by Impact TNA, there was only like five times that Jarrett defended that title in an NWA ring. Jaden, do you think that hurts the credibility as an NWA World's Champion, or do you think that it's just it's not a big deal?
If they didn't have like some kind of pseudo television, I think it would have hurt worse. It's the NWA promoter's fault. I don't know what Jarrett was charging, but it should have been the NWA's promoter to book the NWA World's Heavyweight Champion. Stupidest thing I ever saw. There's no bylaw to not make him do so. Should have been able to put a $500 deposit down. If you didn't book the champion, you lost your deposit.
The NWA was always horrible at booking their own champions.
Yes.
I mean, always. In the later days, after when you get past WCW, they were always one of the most successful champions, and Adam Pearce defended his title far more outside the NWA than he did inside the NWA. And
there's some truth to that.
So
the NWA Dog Championship was defended more on in NWA promotions on the East Coast than I think the world title was.
Now, part of the problem was, of course, when AJ Styles was the world champion one time, Wildside did book him for a world title defense, and then Jarrett won the title beforehand and sent a video saying he wasn't going to go to Wildside to defend the title because they didn't deserve to see him. And so, I mean, TNA kind of did what they wanted with the belt, and I don't know that some of the promoters they weren't going to start advertising somebody and then not have them show up or not have them show up as a champion. I know one promoter in particular told me that. So, and let's be honest, most of the NWA promoters at this time didn't promote shit.
Yeah, that's true too.
I watched a lot of their stuff. They did promote a lot of shit.
Well, they didn't promote shit. They had affiliates and associates who promoted shit. And so a lot of them, and I think we can all think of one off the top of their head, was, you know, content just to sit back and let TNA send them money for the title.
Who was that?
Oh, if you don't know, I'm not going to tell you.
Oh, okay, Mom. Sounds like something my mom would say.
The TNA title was defended more in New Jersey than the NWA title during the Impact era. Or the TNA era.
Was it really?
Yeah, Christian Cage wrestled a lot in North Jersey to the various promotions as the Impact, as the TNA champion.
Well, and I do know this, again, when I was compiling my stats here, when you look at the World's Heavyweight Championship during the TNA era, and again, these notes can't be 100% accurate because it's from Cage Match, and there's a lot of inaccuracies, there's a lot of not full information, or just stuff that never got reported, but from what Cage Match states, there was roughly about 11 title matches for the NWA World's Heavyweight Championship in an NWA ring from 2002 to 2006. And if you don't mind, I'm going to list them now. Back in October 26, 2002, Ron Killings wrestled against Hot Stuff Hernandez at the NWA 54th Anniversary Show in Texas. January 25, 2003, Jeff Jarrett defends against Rod Steele in NWA Florida. August 5, 2003, AJ Styles wrestles Chance Profit for NWA Bluegrass in Kentucky. May 14th, 2004, AJ Styles defends against Danny Daniels at No Limits Wrestling in Illinois. The aforementioned match in South Korea between Jarrett and Styles, that happened on January 22nd, 2005. Again, Jarrett in Cyberspace, February 5th, 2005, against Ron Killings. And again, against Slick Wagner Brown on April 30th. Again, Styles reclaiming the title would face Lex Lovett on June 10th, 2005 at an NWA Florida IPW joint show in Florida. Raven had one NWA title defense at Pro Wrestling Evolution in Georgia. They were the NWA Anarchy affiliate. And then Jarrett wrestling in Birmingham, Alabama against BG James. And then the last one was Christian Cage against Jay Lethal at Liberty States Wrestling, which was also, as we know, that's part of the NWA Pro Wrestling circuit that Dave Marquez had built. And that was in 2006, April 4th. So that's not a lot of NWA World Championship matches, I think, at that time and space. You know, consider all things considering, like you said, Jane, any one of the promoters could book these guys. But, you know, contrary to that opinion, I do know that Dave Marquez said he tried very hard to book Jeff Jarrett on his shows. He tried very hard to get the World's Heavyweight Championship on his events. And that's part of the reason why they wanted to end that licensing agreement with Total Nonstop Action Wrestling, because they couldn't get access to the world champions.
Okay.
Well, I always wait. They very much wanted to make it sound like the NWA had not existed until they, who was it, Hashimoto, you know, with Dan Severn.
Right.
In the fast count, which I don't remember if it was really fast or not. I've seen a clip of it. So that put, they took Dan Severn out there to do it. That was just to get the belt back and off of him. And then they quote unquote stripped Severn of the title because he wasn't available for the first episode of TNA, although the fact that he had never been asked was totally irrelevant.
And I think I
read that the TNA had already said that they were going to fill the title, you know, in whatever BS way that they filled it. And then they did the same thing with the tag championships. Some team, they were like twin brothers,
Shane Twins, who wrestled as the Johnsons on TNA.
Yeah.
When did Impact actually become normal? And it's actually weird to say TNA.
I don't know. But
around the time Owens was champion.
So they won the titles. And then the NWA made this BS thing about there was some kind of controversy about how they won the titles. And I don't even remember what the BS excuse was. And so they stripped him of the titles and vacated the titles to let TNA fill them. And, you know, so TNA puts them on like, who was it? Jerry Lynn, AJ Styles, and then split them up.
Yeah, it was AJ Styles and Jerry Lynn. They defeated Bruce and Lenny Lane. Do you remember that tag team?
Yes, I do.
The Rainbow Express. That certainly wouldn't fly in today's world.
Lenny didn't last very long, but Bruce did for a while. And then he was basically a drag queen.
Bruce was?
Yeah, they would take him out. He'd come to the ring in a ball gown and say, who was he though? What was his name?
Queenie.
What?
Queenie.
Oh yeah. So anyway.
And
then they brought in, you know, you just had your interview with our former world champion, junior champion
Darrell
Clark. He was the junior heavyweight champion, and TNA brought him in. Refused to recognize the title.
Yep.
Wouldn't say anything about it. If I remember correctly, he lost. And that was never heard from again. So, yeah, and then like Jaden said, here the team that were the tag team champions were brought in to look like men in giant condoms. Thank you, Vince Russo.
Was that a Russo idea?
What do you think?
I don't know, man.
They should have debuted at Hard Times.
No kidding. I tell you what, it wasn't a Jerry Jarrett idea.
Oh, I heard they had a lot of stiff matches.
you're gonna kill me, Jaden.
Would you believe that?
But I believe what? I don't know what you're talking about. Anyway, so blah blah blah, yuck 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 yuck.
So then, would you say that Jeff Jarrett as NWA World Champion hurt the NWA, or do you feel like he benefited the NWA?
I think Vince Russo as a booker hurt the NWA.
But he was only booking Impact. Does that count as ruining the NWA? Like, was there any delineation?
No, Vince Russo was booking from the beginning. They just wouldn't say it.
No. And what I'm saying is he was only booking that program, though. That he was only booking that 1 hour of pay-per-view weekly or until they got on Fox Sports.
That they had the rights for the world's titles, both tag team and heavyweights, and screwed it up every chance they could.
Okay.
Yeah. Booked to the former champions as condoms.
I mean, this is one of those things. It got the titles out there, but I don't think it benefited the name, the NWA, anymore. I don't, you know, because the promotions weren't using that thing, and the promoters only cared about their local guys anyway. So, yeah, I mean, I think the only people that benefited was after the agreement was reworked. After a lot of people forget, TNA went broke in 3 months. And yes, I know people tell me all the time, they come back behind and they go, well, that's just because they lost their financial booking because that or backing because that. But no, you don't understand. They had a budget and they had blown through a year's budget in 3 months. Because they thought they were going to be selling tickets to these big pay-per-view events every week for $20 and $30. And then they found out when they did their first one that nobody was going to pay that amount of money when they could watch it on pay-per-view for 10 bucks. And so they started doing free shows. In Nashville. So, I mean, overall, I don't know that it was a great benefit for the promoters. It was probably neat for people who liked the NWA and wanted to see the, you know, NWA wrestling, but I don't know that, you know, in the greater scheme of things. I mean, you pointed out at the beginning, a lot of people forget that time. You know, it was like, well, the NWA hadn't meant anything since, you know, WCW left or it became WCW or whatever. And so, I mean, most fans today, you bring up this period and they're like, what? You go, hey, Jeff Jarrett was a 6-time champion. And they go, who, what, when? When was Jarrett champion?
They seem to remember Jarrett as champion, but they don't seem to remember people like AJ Styles.
They don't what?
AJ Styles. I mentioned AJ Styles was a former NWA champion, and somebody looked at me like I had 7 heads. Like, really?
Yeah. Well, same thing with Ron Killings.
That's the truth.
Thank you for tuning in to the Alliance Blog Podcast, a presentation of Alliance-Wrestling.com, the premier source for news and information for the National Wrestling Alliance. Would you consider subscribing so you never miss a new episode? You can follow us on all social media at the Alliance Blog, and we stream live on Twitch, Kick, and YouTube every Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, 5 p.m., 6 p.m., and 8 p.m. Eastern at the Alliance Blog. Until then, we are the Alliance. I guess we're going to wrap up this podcast, this live stream, by saying...
Well, we should. It's 8 o'clock. We've been going 2 hours.
Yeah, that's why I'm wrapping it up. The long and short of it is this. Jeff Jarrett, although had a lot of contributions to the impact of NWA, no pun intended, I do believe that it was a little excessive, as many title reigns as he had, and as long as he dominated the belt. I feel like Jarrett, although, as our pal Tim said, was very serviceable, was good on the mic, all that stuff is not false. I feel like there was enough to kind of spread the wealth. There was some pretty talented guys on the roster in those 4 years that they had control of the NWA World's title. You know, the biggest name that you and I mentioned was Monty Brown. I think he definitely deserved a run with that title. So I think Jeff Jarrett held the title for too much. although I think he was a serviceable world's heavyweight champion, to quote Tim. I think that we had a lot of him.